Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. This is the podcast all about pouring the labor, care, and study into the roles that God has given us as wives, moms, women, and His children. It is meant to inspire us to be living with passion, intention, beauty, and delight in the everyday moments, right where we're at. I'm your hostess, Mackenzie Monroe, from boldturquoise.com and the Cultivating the Lovely morning show on Periscope. Today, I'm really excited to be sharing a conversation with you that I had with my friend, Misty Winkler. Not only has Misty become my friend in this last year, but she's also become my organizational guru. She does a really good job of helping me sort out my crazy and make actionable plans to get stuff done. Today, we're going to talk about how her organizational journey began, and she dropped some serious truth bombs about how organization stems from our attitudes, not just our actions. And I don't know about you girls, but that is probably the hardest part of it all for me. I hope that you are really going to enjoy this little chat as much as I did, and I really think you're going to. So with that, on with the podcast. Welcome, Misty.
Hello.
I am so excited to be sharing you with my listeners today because the wisdom that you have to offer has literally changed my life. But before we dive into all of that, I would love for you to give listeners a little bit better idea of who you are and where they can find you online.
Okay. Well, my husband and I have 5 kids, a 12-year-old boy, 10-year-old boy, 7-year-old girl, 5-year-old boy, and an almost 3-year-old girl. And we homeschool them. Actually, both my husband and I were homeschooled.
That's so awesome.
This is just normal life for us.
You give me hope for my children. They can come out normal.
And I blog at simplifiedorganization.com about getting organized, but starting with your attitude, kind of organizing from the inside out. And then also at simplyconvivial.com. And I write there about practical homemaking and classical homeschooling.
So awesome. And you do such a good job of it. I'm really excited to be telling everybody about everything you have to offer today. But first of all, I wanted to give them a little bit of a glimpse of how we even met. Misty and I have only really known each other for a couple of months, but thanks to Voxer, which if any of you have watched me on Periscope at all or talked to me for more than 5 minutes, then you probably know that I am in love with Voxer, which is basically like this walkie-talkie app that you can leave voice messages for people. So we started Voxing a few months ago, but it was after I had heard Misty actually on the Read Aloud Revival, and then we had kind of connected on Instagram. But Periscope was kind of that thing that sent it over the edge for us, right?
Yes, because you were there first and totally rocking it. Oh. So I sent you an email and said, so tell me about this thing.
Yes, and at which point I completely fangirled and was like, Misty Winkler just emailed me. And my husband was like, calm down. You don't want to scare her away. And so I was so excited to hear from you. Just before then, it was when I had really been going over to your blog, Simplified Organization, and kind of been digging into there. And there was this one post that so stood out for me from the rest and was what made me really realize, like, oh, she's like the wisest woman I've ever met. She's on like a totally different level. And it was this post called Learning to Love What Must Be Done. And in it, you talk about repetition and how it's like woven into our very existence, because with like even breathing, we breathe in and breathe out over and over and over again, how like God made us to have things in repetition and that it wasn't actually a bad thing. And it just completely rocked my world. So I want to know, how did you get there? You make this into such a heart issue. Like, what clued you off that all this organization stuff is a heart issue? And how did you even get started on this journey of, like, taking organization to a whole nother level?
Well, I definitely wrote that out of years of, you know, not feeling or thinking that way. It was the lesson that I needed for sure. And you know, I've always loved productivity type books. And I started my first one that I read, I remember, was in college. I took a speech class. I hate speaking. And so here I am in front of a microphone. Yeah. But what I wanted was the speech class that had no speaking involved. And I found it.
Seriously?
There was a speech class that had it was called interpersonal communication.
Ah.
And so I enrolled and there was no speaking in front of the class in that entire thing. That was crazy. Awesome.
That is crazy.
My husband told me, you'll live to regret that. And I kind of have, but... Then that professor even ditched the textbook he was supposed to use and used Stephen Covey's The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Interesting.
As the textbook. And I loved it. And at some point along the way, I don't even remember when, I checked out Getting Things Done by David Allen from the library and liked it. But it must have been library because I returned it.
Okay.
And then after baby number 3... I felt like, oh my goodness, I have just, reached another level just in neediness and in not being sufficient here.
Yes, I've been there.
Yeah. And so I came across Getting Things Done. At that point, I bought it. I think I must have found a used copy somewhere and picked it up and reread it. And the things that I was doing that were working, some practices that I'd picked up came from that book, but I'd forgotten. That's where I first saw that idea.
Okay.
And so I said, well, what if I just go through and try to really make this work? But those books, those kind of books are really written for businessmen, people who have an office door they can close, who have secretaries that they can say, okay, make these phone calls for me.
Yes.
And who are very in control of their environment and their situation and who are not being constantly interrupted all the time.
What?
Not a mom's lifestyle.
My children are not so cooperative realistic. With everything I want to do.
And so, but I'm into personality types and I am an INTJ. And so that means that I can't help it. I have to make a system. I have to take this thing that seems kind of like it won't fit and won't work and make it work.
Yes.
So that's what I've been doing.
I'm so thankful for you because you took my ENFP and like all these random bits of like, oh, that sounds like a good organizational idea. And you pulled them all together to make sense. Oh, systems. That's how this works. So helpful. So you started off in college, really, but then did you read books kind of in early mothering, or was it when you hit that third child that you really, really started creating this program sort of for yourself?
Well, I'm definitely a reader. And anytime I have a problem, my first step, I picked up from my dad, is you have to go to the library and check out 5 books.
Wow.
If you have a problem, 5 books.
You are such a homeschooler. You are such a homeschooler.
Definitely. Yes, because I also often mispronounce words. So that's what I've read them and I can't say them. So I was always reading about it, but it really was after baby number 3 that I feel like I hit one kind of low. And it was just that dread of repetition and feeling like this is all just pointless. Like, yeah. I do the dishes today. I'm going to have to do them tomorrow. If I'm going to do them tomorrow, why should I do them today?
Yes.
And I really started going a little too far in that, like, it doesn't matter. This doesn't matter. This isn't important. This, if I'm just going to be redoing it, why do I have to do it in the first place? And just really, really resisting anything repetitious.
So that
and
came
it turns
in the,
out,
the form of your bed also, right?
Yes.
Your bed making.
I've never been a bed maker. And that was part of it. Yeah. Fighting that kind of thing. Like, if I'm just going to sleep in it again tonight, why make it? This
exactly.
is dumb. So I just
I'm still
like
fighting that one, clearly.
So much. It just felt dumb. And I wasn't going to do anything dumb. So therefore, I wasn't going to do housework.
There you go.
It turns out that that's not a very good way to live.
Yeah.
I don't recommend it.
The rest
it
of the family
end up
tends
in happy
to,
places.
Yes. The rest of the family tends to balk at that one a bit. I found. Wait a minute. You're supposed
Actually,
to be doing more.
And part of my coming out of that... I was listening to an audiobook. I was listening to Bleak House by Charles Dickens while I was painting the kitchen, which was more my kind of project because you can see that it's done and, you know, it feels like you've accomplished something.
Yeah.
So I was painting the kitchen and listening to this Dickens novel. And one of the characters in that novel, well, actually all of the characters in that novel, the way they kept their home or their living environment, like how wherever that was, indicated what kind of a person they were.
Interesting.
And I just started noticing because that was the descriptor that he used for all these different people was like the state of where they lived. Their whatever space they were in charge of, what did that look like? And that told you something about the character. And I started thinking about what my living environment said about me.
That is frightening.
It wasn't what I wanted it to say about me.
Yeah, for sure.
That's not me. You know, that's not true about me. But so I was like, well, then how I'm keeping my house is speaking about me. And if I don't like what it's saying, then it's my housekeeping that needs to be reflecting what I would like it to be communicating, because it is communicating. And that's what I had been resisting, was that it didn't matter, but it did. And that was one of my paths out was actually through a novel.
Wow. How interesting and how telling. And, you know, I mean, I think that we often think like, oh, well, it doesn't really matter when it's just our families and stuff, but it does. And it even represents to them who we are and what they're going to carry on with them. But it keeps us from even being able to be hospitable in a lot of those things as well.
So, yeah. And we really should be hospitable to our family as well.
Yeah.
You know, if you want the house to look this way for other people, or you want to serve other people, you know, and you start doing things like putting a centerpiece or, you know, whatever little thing, you know, why not for your family? If they matter more, or they matter first, then, you know, how we do things should be communicating that to them.
Yeah, it's those little touches that will start changing the atmosphere of your home. I mean, it's yes, the organizational aspects of it, but when you actually take that next step of making it beautiful and making it a place that you really show your family that you're putting care into it, wow, how differently does that speak to them about where they're growing up, you know?
Mm-hmm. And who they are.
Yes.
You know, it gives them an identity too. Like, I am the kind of person that sets a table or, you know, that, you know, whatever the thing is. And also, as I kind of came out of that and was working on unlearning things that I'd been telling myself, wrong things I'd been telling myself.
Yeah.
Was that my attitude is the biggest part of our home's atmosphere. Like, I can put a centerpiece on the table, but if I'm doing it while being grumpy and thinking it's dumb or just being resentful, then that centerpiece isn't doing anything. It's my attitude. My attitude is communicating no matter what outward thing I'm doing. The kids really just have this sense of how mom is doing. And I think that they take that on more than we realize. So that my attitude was the biggest piece of our home's atmosphere.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think that we forget that it's not necessarily like these little moments that the kids are going to remember, but they're going to remember this overarching, the themes of our life and kind of what our attitudes were on the whole and how we dealt with stuff over and over and over again. And I love what you've told me before about like how your parents taught you about obeying and like having an attitude that was good. Like, it can be changed. Can you speak to that?
So I grew up homeschooled. I'm the oldest of 7 kids. And so one way that helped as the oldest of 7 was that I heard all those things that you tell the toddler over and over my whole life, because I've lived with toddlers my whole life.
Yes, you are commendable.
And so I heard my mom, you know, saying these things, and it was to us too, but we never, you know, our household never really got out of toddler mode before I left home.
Wow.
So the teaching the little ones to obey was just kind of this constant background. And, you know, it included me because I was one of the kids.
Yeah.
But I think that sometime I can definitely see that now where I have older kids. So you kind of move out of that phase.
Mm-hmm.
But with growing up where there was always a toddler, there were things that is always heard. And Mama didn't quite say it this way, but this is the little motto that we came up with that expresses the same sort of thing. And that's when you obey, what is obeying? It's not just doing it with a grumpy face, you know, kind of, you know, the toddler that throws the toy angrily into the bin because you told him to put it away. Like, that's not what you want.
Yeah.
And so we say obey right away, all the way, with a good attitude every day. And that was definitely the way I grew up too, was that our parents expected, just taught us that we could change our attitude. And they would say, like, change your attitude, you know, put a smile on, do something, not to fake feeling a certain way, but just, they just taught us that you can change how you do something. You can change how you feel about something. It starts by doing the right thing, but then that does change how you feel about it.
You can definitely have that self-control to make that choice, and it's
and
not it's, easy.
And it takes, and it does take practice.
Yes.
And yeah, so you can change not just the behavior, but even how you feel about the thing. And so that did help me then as an adult going through that. I knew deep down, like, this is something that I can change and that I ought to change, how I feel about the housework. And I definitely saw, as after I left home and I start parenting, that a lot of people, you know, never had that, never even thought about the fact that they can change how they feel about something.
Mm-hmm.
That just how you feel is something that happens to you.
Yeah.
Whereas I grew up as how you feel is something that you are responsible for.
Yes. And that's and so powerful.
It is. And it's, and if you can change how you feel about something, you're not, there's this feeling in our society today, like, your feelings matter so much.
Mm-hmm.
And they do, because they, how you feel about something changes what you actually do. And that's where your actions start, is inside, you know, your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You're, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And yes. Jesus said, the good person out of his good treasure brings forth good fruit. That is your heart. And you, and the Holy Spirit can change that. And you can also work with that or against that, and, like, hold on to your bad attitudes or let it go and replace it with truth. And that that matters. So, yes. And you're not being a faker or inauthentic if you're trying to change how you feel about something. I know for a long time I felt like, well, I hate housework, and so that's just the way I am.
Yeah.
And I had to let that go. Like, no, actually, you hate housework, and that's something that's wrong with you. You need to fix that.
That's so good. I know, it's so true. We live in this culture where we're just taught to go with our feelings and just be led by them. But instead, we should really be leading our feelings. And I think that was something that stood out to me the most in your organizational course, Simplified Organization, Learning to Love What Must Be Done. She has an amazing course, folks. Go check it out. You've probably heard me talk about it too, if you've heard me for any length of time. But I love this different perspective that you had, that everything was about the heart of it and working from the heart out, like, loving what you're doing, like, learning to love it, that it's not something that's just going to happen. You have to work for it. You have to really try to get to that place. And that's why I found your course so inspiring, because it wasn't just like, do these things, but it was, hey, you need to fix yourself first. And I think a lot of times when we think about our houses, we think about fixing the house. We don't think about fixing ourselves. Like, that's, that the two are separate. But the house isn't really going to have lasting change if we don't fix ourselves first.
Right. Well, because that the mom is the foundation of the home atmosphere.
Yes.
So that is what matters most. And yet we get organization ideas from, you know, Real Simple or Martha Stewart or Pinterest or wherever, where organization is portrayed as a very visual thing,
mm-hmm.
where it's something that you set up.
Yes.
But, you know, when you have a lot of small children, yes. things that you set up don't stay set up.
No, they don't.
And so you set it up and then you feel, and then people mess it up.
Yeah.
And you feel like either that was a dumb waste of time, which was mm-hmm. my approach, or you're resentful and angry at the people that messed it up. Like, I did yeah. this thing, and either that was a waste of time, and so I'm going to throw off all organization attempts because that didn't work for me, or, you know, just going around grumpy because you can't have the life you want because of these small children.
Yes. And it's so important, too, because I'm so constantly trying to hone these attitudes in my kids, like we've been talking about. And yet if I am constantly frustrated with what I'm trying to do, I'm being an awful example. I have to get control of the work that I'm doing and my attitude about it if I ever expect any of it out of them.
Right.
And that's not easy.
That's definitely the journey of motherhood. It's like, okay, this is what I need to be teaching you. Oh, man, I need to teach myself, too. Yeah,
drat, I have to do that. Wait a minute. I was supposed to already have this down by now. So I want to pause for a second because I think that you have done a really good job of this. And I want to discuss kind of going with your passions and living them out in life, because you excel at organizing. You are very interested in organizing. You've studied it. You have really figured out how to do this to the point where you've even been able to write courses for other women to be able to get organized. So could you tell me a little bit more about kind of living into your passions and maybe at what point you should be sharing those with other people?
Well, I feel for myself like it kind of just happened by accident or grew very organically. I've had a blog for years and years, and it's only recently kind of become where it's centered around certain topics and moving a certain point forward, you know, more cohesive, I guess.
Yeah.
And but one of the things that I love about blogging or writing and making these courses is it's kind of a way for me to stay engaged with it.
Yeah.
Like, these are lessons that I've learned. And if I move on to some other project or something, I might forget, but if I yes. keep writing about it, it's a way like, no, I have to own this.
Yes.
This
is, accountability.
It's accountability. Like, oh, I'm telling other people to do a weekly review. So I really should not just totally ignore my own advice.
I totally get that. Cultivate the lovely. I never get that one like put on me. Hey, are you cultivating yeah, the lovely right now?
Exactly. It's a way, it's a very public accountability method.
Yes, very.
So there's definitely that. And just, yeah, it's my way of being engaged. And also writing is my creative outlet also. And I do think that it's important for moms to have a creative outlet. You know, it doesn't have to be public or visible or anything, but just some way to, you know, cultivate lovely within themselves and kind of express creativity, because that's part of being made in the image of God, is being creative. And so whether that's in the way you cook dinner or knitting or photography, I think that there's a creative outlet for everyone,
mm-hmm.
even however small that feels for people. It yeah. does. It matters that it's a creative expression, not how public or visible or it feels.
Yeah, and I think those things are important because they make you feel like you're not just doing these things that have no results, that keep know, falling back apart again, but you have something that you actually are investing in that you can feel accomplished at. Whether, like you said, whether that is for anybody else or just for yourself or your family, like those are good, valuable things for us to be, you know, carving out time for so that we aren't just ragged.
Yes. Yeah, they are. They help fill us up.
Yes.
So we're constantly pouring out for others. And so we have to be filling up some way if we want to be pouring out, or you do, like, the burnt out mom is a real thing.
Yes.
And we have to be conscious and intentional to not get there.
Yeah.
I just actually went to a homeschool little conference retreat thing. And one of the speakers there who was she homeschooled her 5 kids all the way through, and all her kids are grown. And she said that, you know, burnout is a real thing, and a lot of moms go there. Mm-hmm. And it is so much better to not go there in the first place than to get there and have to come out of it. It's so much more work to come out of burnout.
Yes.
And if you can see it coming and do something about it, that is so much better and worth the effort. But you start going that direction and all the effort feels, you know, just like you're moving through molasses and like you can't do it, but it is worth it.
Well, and I think there's oftentimes so much guilt tied to it. We feel like, oh, there's all these other things that we should be doing and other people that we need to be pouring into. We can't take time for ourselves, even if it's 15 minutes to drink a cup of tea and read a book. Like, we just feel like, oh, there's too much else to do. I'm not doing all my other roles well if I'm taking this time for myself. When in reality, if we aren't filling ourselves up, then all of that outpouring is going to leave us not being able to do it anymore at all.
Yes. And we're also modeling as mothers. We're teaching best by example. And if we tell our kids, you know, or if we tell ourselves that our goal is lifelong learning, you know, what do we want for our kids when they grow up?
Yes.
And so just like, you know, when you're teaching your kids with attitude and stuff, you start realizing, oh man, I need that myself.
Yes.
But also you tell your kids, you know, learning is something that never ends. You know, we're going to be reading, you know, your whole life, or you're going doing all these things that you want your kids to be growing up into. Well, if you aren't showing the way and showing what that looks like, they aren't going to do that either. So we need to be modeling learning and having interests, just being interested is really what, having something that you're interested in that's outside of just the daily to-do list. Otherwise, they're only going to see, okay, life is just about that daily to-do list.
Yeah.
So it feels kind of selfish having an interest.
Yeah.
That's outside of your family, but it's showing your family, like it is serving your family to have other outlets.
Yeah. And teaching them to take responsibility for taking care of themselves and making sure that they're not only physically taken care of, but mentally taken care of, so that they can do that for their families one day. I just think that's so important, and we can't lose sight of that as moms. Get rid of the guilt.
Yep.
But back to, okay, so you have these passions, and it's really good for us to be investing in those things. And this may not necessarily be for everybody, but when should you like take it to the next level and actually be sharing that with others? Like, you've made these courses and that sort of thing. Can you give us any insight on that?
Well, I think that if you have those interests and it feels like you want to do something more with it, then be watching and open for those opportunities. I would say for myself, the kind of the outline for what became Simplified Organization was a list for myself. I had kind of a baby blues after baby number 4. And I knew that my attitude about our life mattered to my raising my kids and how they were going to experience life. And so I knew that it was something I had, like, that was really important to not stay in that place. And so the outline for simplified organization started as an outline for myself. Like, these are what is important. This is what's going to lift me up out of this.
Yeah.
And I need to work through these. And so I did. And then before, after I had baby number five, I already had this list. And I'm like, okay, this is what getting back on track is. It's going through these things. And I did it again. You know, this is going to be helpful for not just me. This is something, I have a blog, I have these other things, I could put this out there. And, you know, it just kind of happened. And I think that if you have those things, you're like, I could share this and this would be helpful for people, that those opportunities will happen. You don't have to reach out and grab them or make them happen. Mm-hmm. If it's something that God wants you to be doing, then they will open up if you are open to them and looking for them and praying for them, but not grabbing them, or, you know, still putting first things first, you know, still investing in our family first. And
yeah, I know. I totally agree. That's how I got here with this podcast. It's like something that I had thought about for a long time or wanted to have happen, but it wasn't until, you know, God kind of put all those pieces in place. And I think it's a lot of like what you say in your Work the Plan course. It's like, roll with the punches, do the next right thing. And I think if you just keep doing the next thing that's put in front of you, then you'll have those opportunities come up if you're supposed to be sharing it with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really good. I like what you say about that. Just like I like all the other stuff. Okay, so back to organizing, though. If a mom is just starting out on this whole organizational journey, she feels completely like, I am buried here, I don't even know where to begin, where should she start first?
One of my favorite posts that I've read is from likemotherlikedaughter.com, Layla. I don't know if you've ever seen hers, but she has a post on that kind of thing. And she says, meals and laundry.
Okay.
Like, just forget about the closets and the kids' bedrooms and the, you know, all those things. Like, yes. People need clothes to wear and people need food to eat. And you know what? If you're clothing them and feeding them, don't let yourself feel like you're doing a terrible job.
Yeah. Everyone is surviving and dressed.
Yeah. And so I think just thinking about those two things as, okay, maybe I'm not doing, because I think we build up in our minds that we're doing a bad job when we really aren't.
Yeah.
We put a lot of pressure on ourselves to have it all together and pull it all together. Mm-hmm. And it's just not the way that life works.
Yes.
And so that meals and laundry, like, that's where you start. And it doesn't have to be made into this big deal.
Okay.
And then what I found for myself adding on to that was smiling at the children. Like, I had it on my list.
Yeah.
Smile at the children, looking into their eyes.
Yes.
So the first thing that I wanted them to see when they came down in the morning, because I realized they were coming down and it was immediately, okay, this is what we're going to do. Because I'd already been up before them. So I was like, ready to go. Okay, let's go, let's go. And they were like just waking up.
Wait a minute.
It's not a good way to start our days.
Yeah. What's going on?
Take a deep breath. And smile at them. Say good morning to them. I had to add it to my list. So
I've had that one on my list before, too. It's a practice. We have to keep doing it. Like, oh, I'm going to remind myself.
And then, and the more that you practice it, it becomes a habit.
Yes.
And those are the kind of habits that you want to build. But then you do have that, you know, that overwhelming sense of, I have so many things to keep track of. Mm-hmm. And the strategy, it came from getting things done. I didn't make this up.
Okay.
I just found that it really works.
Okay.
That to get out of that kind of overwhelm mode, the first thing is a brain dump.
Okay.
And so that means you have all this jumbled stuff in your head. You need to write it down. And you need writing it down as a way to get it out of your head. Because your head is, you know, your mind is trying to hold on to all this stuff and you can't think about it when your head is so full. It really is just like a closet or a cupboard or something. Yes. If you have a lot of ideas and feelings of should and ought and, you know, who knows what else in there, you can't find what you need when you need it mm-hmm. because it's so cluttered. So I call it decluttering your head.
Yes.
You pull everything out and then you see what's there. You can see what's there because you've gotten it out of the cupboard. So writing it down is how you get it out. And then you can, then the paper is holding on to it instead of the brain. So you don't have to be, you're just going to find that the worry and that anxious feeling starts dissipating because you can see it. And mm-hmm. then you can say, oh, this is what I'm worried about.
Yes.
and start thinking through it. There's space then in your mind to actually think about it, problem solve, or just be a little more objective.
Mm-hmm.
It's just feeling like there's more space inside because you've gotten all this stuff out and now you can a little more objectively see, oh, this is something I need to let go of.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm feeling like I ought to do all these things, but you know what? Look at all these things I feel like I ought to do. I can't do all those things. Which one of these can I cross off? And then you know, physically, like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to care that I can't do that. And just start crossing things off.
Yes. Well, and I think when I first started looking at your blog and everything, and I found the brain dump materials, and I really started making that a practice in my life, I started realizing that, like, oh, that cupboard, I'm just trying to, like, shove more and more stuff in and try to, like, jimmy it to keep the door closed. I can't fit anything else in because I'm trying to hang on to so many different bits of information. And so, like, the brain dump was a huge thing for me to, like, make that a constant, like, not trying to hold on to it. And then your whole idea of ubiquitous capture, like, instead of then even throughout my day trying to hang on to these little bits of things that, oh, that's what we're going to memorize that next for, you know, our memory work for school. And this is what I need to get done later today. But actually just writing that stuff down has been so freeing. Like, my brain feels like it can kind of start to function again.
Yeah, it does. Holding on to that stuff, it adds stress.
Yes.
So if we can let the paper keep track of it for us, then it's a way to de-stress, really.
Yeah.
That's very cheap therapy.
Yes. It's very freeing. So if you guys want some cheap therapy, go head over to simplifiedorganization.com and sign up for Misty's brain dump PDF because it is so helpful and it walks you through the whole thing to, like, go into the deep recesses of your mind and, like, pull up things that I didn't even realize I needed to brain dump.
They're just back there and your mind's holding on to that, and your mind is not a very good rememberer.
Yeah,
you know, it reminds you of things when you're trying to go to sleep or when you're in the shower, when you can't deal with it.
Yes.
And so if you use your mind for thinking about things rather than holding on to things, you're going to experience a lot more peace. That's pretty much straight out of Getting Things Done, but it's that's something that applies straight across and even more so for moms, because we're trying to remember all the things about the kids and what each and every kid needs and our family. We just have so many needs that we're tracking and trying to address that we need some strategies for handling it all.
Yeah. And when I find that when I have that one place that I've devoted to, like, writing that stuff down instead of, you know, 8 different places where I'm keeping track of it in this app and on this scrap of paper over here and, you know, this notebook, I realize how many times have I spent the time, like, writing down the same thing over and over and over again. I would be eliminating just even time wasters out of my life when I just have that one central place where I'm keeping track of everything.
Yeah. So you could get the brain dump prompt guide. So it's a brain dump guide for free on my site. And that has, it's a PDF. It's like 3 or 5 pages, something like that. That has just a list of prompts or questions. Like, did you think, how about this? Are you holding on to details about this? Just a whole long list of them.
Yeah.
So, and you can get that at simplifiedorganization.com/bold.
Oh, there we go. Yes, that's my landing page, you guys. See my little face there talking about how Misty has revolutionized my life. So be sure to check that out, because I think that has probably been the number one most helpful thing in getting my life back on track after baby number 4. Thank you, Misty. So what you've mentioned a lot of books. If you had to pick just your top favorites, what are your favorite organizational books that you would recommend to other women?
I think the ones that have helped me the most was Getting Things Done by David Allen. And then one, it's called Switch.
Okay.
And I forgot to go grab it because it has a very long subtitle, but it's about habits.
Okay.
And the author, it's two brothers that wrote it, and their last name is Heath. But okay. it was about building habits, but overcoming the obstacles to habit building. So, and it focused on organizational, like changing the habits of an organization.
Okay.
But I found that it very much applied to the habits of a household. And if you think of a household, you know, it's running, it has a lot of people and a lot of parts. And so it was really about how can, you know, someone at the top help the people under him change their patterns.
Interesting.
And it was really good. I got a lot of ideas out of that. And then another one that's just much more mom, very much speaks to our situation, is called A Mother's Rule of Life.
Okay.
And that one is, you know, your basic household management book, but she very much tells her story and how her attitude about it all changed and what she did along the way, and how she kind of tells a story of how organizing her household led her to a closer relationship with God.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a very good book.
I love when those kind of books are able to tie in like the actual story behind it. It just seems like it makes it so much more impactful. Like you were saying about the fiction earlier, like the story is what brought out these great ideas for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Story is very powerful.
Cool. Well, I think it's about time for us to get wrapping up, but I feel like you've given us so many gems of wisdom. I can't wait to pull together all of our show notes for everybody. I'm really excited to get those up because there's so many great points to hit on. But before we finish up for today, there are some questions that I'm going to be asking of all of my different interviewees, and they're just some fun little questions to find out a little bit more about you. So Misty, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So these are just silly, but I thought they would be kind of fun. So do you prefer candles or an essential oil diffuser?
Candles.
Okay. Are you a cloth napkin girl or a paper napkin girl?
Oh, I have always wanted to do cloth napkins, but I can never keep, like, they get misshapen.
Yes.
I can't keep them. I don't know. I must wash them wrong or something. Yeah. So I haven't been able to make cloth napkins work.
But. Yeah. I think if they didn't require like ironing or something, maybe.
Yeah. I don't do ironing.
Maybe I can make it happen. Okay. City or country?
I'm like right in between. If I had to pick, I would have to pick country because the biggest city I've been to is Seattle and Portland, and that's huge. I would hate it.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
But I like my little town.
Yes. Okay. Are you paper girl or digital?
I am digital. I wrote paperless home organization, so I kind of feel like I have to be.
Yes.
But I have key pieces that are paper because there is something different about handwriting things.
Yes.
So.
You're mostly digital with some paper touches.
Mostly digital.
Okay.
Yep.
Shopping, do you prefer online or in store?
I prefer online.
Okay.
The store is kind of visually overwhelming.
Yes, it really can be. If you're just wanting to go and like be in Target, that's one thing. But like if you actually have specific things you need, it can be helpful to eliminate a lot of that. Okay, it's 4 o'clock, you're making dinner, and you need a mental break. Do you listen to a podcast or music?
A podcast.
Okay. And chocolate, milk, or dark?
I'm trying to make myself become a dark chocolate person.
Okay.
But I actually like milk chocolate.
Well, I like your first answer better. I am dark chocolate all the way.
I feel like I'm trying to make myself become a grown-up and like dark chocolate more. I like it, but would pick milk chocolate.
How funny. Okay. Sports or no sports?
No sports.
I'm right there with you, sister. I was like the girl in the outfield. My dad was coaching and he was like, catch the ball. I'm like, oh no, I'm going to wait for it to hit the ground first. Don't make me catch it. Okay. Periscope. Would you rather broadcast or watch?
Broadcast.
Okay. What is
not
your...
Not that I do.
Yeah. Yes, you do. You do a great job. What is your favorite movie? If you had to pick one.
My favorite movie is My Fair Lady.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, totally approve of that choice.
I memorized it as a kid.
Oh, so did I. I was determined. I was going to play that part someday. It never happened, but I will always love Eliza Doolittle.
Yes.
Okay. Where would you put yourself? This is the final question. Where would you put yourself on the crunchy spectrum? If zero is like totally soggy, not crunchy at all, and number 10 is you are sitting around a campfire with unshaven legs singing Kumbaya.
Ooh.
Break it down for us.
I think I would have to be a 3 or 4.
Really?
Probably. Oh, yeah.
That is so funny.
Yep.
This is going to be one of those very telling questions. I can tell already. So fun. So again, people can find you at simplyconvivial.com and at simplifiedorganization.com/bold. And yes. There's where they can get your brain dump materials. And then what are the courses that you have to offer?
I have Simplified Organization, Learn to Love What Must Be Done. It's kind of the signature course that will walk you through the entire big picture. Mm-hmm. And then I also just released Work the Plan, which is like a mini version. If you kind of feel like you have a handle on things and you just need some better systems in place to work it out, then Work the Plan is like the last step to Simplified Organization, or just the put it into practice piece.
Yes.
If, you know, you don't need the whole big pick me up.
Yes. Which I have used both of the courses and they're both fabulous. I have gotten so much from either one. So I love being able to talk about them because I know that people will totally benefit. I do like that about Work the Plan, is it just kind of boils it all down for you of what you really got to get done. Okay, well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Misty, and sharing all of your organizational wisdom with us. I so appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's fun. I can't wait to hear more episodes.
Yes, thank you. This is in our very first day of podcasts going live. I'm so excited that you guys are getting to experience Misty right off the bat. So thank you for being here, and I hope to have you on again sometime.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
So that's it for this very first interview episode of Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. I hope you guys really enjoyed it. And if you want to see any of the resources that Misty talked about throughout the course of the show, then you can head over to boldturquoise.com/002. Or you can also just go to cultivatingthelovely.com, and that will take you to the main podcasting page that will have links to all the show notes that you can get to from there. So I'm so appreciative to all of you who listened throughout this whole show and stuck it out to the end. Thank you so much. I'm sure that this podcasting thing is going to be an evolving process for me, and I hope to just be getting better and better at it and making a show that will be really enjoyable and interesting and inspiring for you all to listen to. So I'm always open to suggestions and anyone that you would like to hear on the show, or if there are specific topics you would like us to cover, please just send me an email at boldturquoise@gmail.com. And I also really, really appreciate all of you who leave ratings and reviews in iTunes. That is what helps other people to hear about the podcast and just kind of get it rolling. So I am so thankful to all of you who are supporting the show and helping it really get launched for the first time out here. So thank you so, so much. Until next time, I would just like to encourage all of you to go be bold and gracious.